this last agenda item for me has to do with the elk general season and the elk special permit seasons, WAX 224-15050 and 415060. This is the statewide elk harvest for the last 17 years. As I mentioned, 2017 was down for elk as well. And the main driver on that is modern firearm harvest. When I briefed you all in March, we didn't have our elk survey information in yet. Surveys were still being conducted. For the Clockham herd, this is we were able to accomplish that. So this shows you the 2007 through last month's estimate. The two red dotted lines, if you can see those, it's a little bright in here, but that's the upper and lower for the population objective. So we'd like to see that population within those two dotted lines. Last year it was at the upper end. This year it's at the lower end. And part of that downward trajectory has to do with why staff are recommending the reductions that they're recommending on the antlerless side of things.
Is that explain that biologically, if you know, is there a natural waxing and waning of elk population due to carrying capacity, or is it harvest? What do we know about that?
Well, it would take a couple of days. We know a lot, but to put it briefly, for this particular population, we don't think it's as much a carrying capacity issue, because we have looked at body condition when we captured radio collared animals, and body condition in this population was looking really good. Calf ratios, calf production typically looks really good. And that's where you're seeing that pretty steep increase up until about 2015. Where we always had challenges was trying to meet our post-hunt bull objectives. And so that was happening on a number of fronts, harvest from state hunters, but harvest from other folks as well. And so we really had a challenge there for a while until we developed even a more restrictive true spike general season hunting structure for that population. That's helped us out a little bit on the bull ratios. On the total population, our response to that increase lagged, and so we probably should have been more aggressive sooner on the antlerless opportunity, so that didn't go to such a high peak before we brought it back down to population objective.
Thank you. It's sort of different, but I was going to ask it. Really basic question I should have asked before. True spike versus spike only. Is a true spike, is that for sure a younger animal versus
no,
a... Oh.
No, we're talking about 1.5-year-old males.
Okay.
The difference is that in a spike only, you can shoot either a 1x1 or a 1x2 yearling bull. In a true spike, we restrict folks to a 1x1 bull. The idea being we get a little more escapement of the yearling bulls that make it through all the hunting seasons, and that way we get a little bit better bull recruitment. In our other east side populations, on the Yakima, on the Blue Mountains, we don't have that necessity to go to true spike. The spike general season gets us the yearling bull escapement that we need, but that wasn't quite happening on the Clockham population.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As I recall, that downward spike there in about 2015 was equated with a big increase in antlerless permits, as I remember, 15, 16, which it all makes sense. I was just wondering if you know, to even that curve out a little bit more. I mean, it looks like we shot to really reduce the herd, and we really reduced the herd.
Yeah.
You know, could we have done a more modest amount of cow tags in 15, 16, and to where, like, in 18 now, I think they're really going to be drastically cut. I don't know. Hunters like to kind of have a feel for that they've got a chance, whereas in this coming year, the chance is much, much lower than before.
In my opinion, you're exactly right.
In hindsight, right?
But no, you are exactly right. And so it's the same situation as I was talking about on the whitetail deer side of things. What I'm encouraging folks to do is to try to add a little bit more stability to the hunting season structure so that we're not seeing this boom and bust kind of cycle. And an additional piece of that that really influenced both the Clackamas and the Yakima herds was the drought of 2015 that we're all very familiar with, and then the winters of 2016 and 2017. And so we had a tremendous amount of antlerless hunting opportunity, as you noted, and then we piled on a drought and two back-to-back winters. And so you're exactly right. We need to level those peaks and valleys out some more.
As best we can.
This is the Clackamas harvest. Yellow columns are total harvest. Red columns are antlerless harvest. You see in 2015, 2016, those really aggressive hunting season structures resulted in those harvests. For the Yakima herd, as mentioned in March, when we have winters that don't cooperate, we have slightly mild to below average winters, then the elk don't cooperate, and it's not worth the money and effort to try to do the surveys, because the surveys wouldn't be representative of what's going on in the true population. So that's why you see those gaps in 2014, 2015, and 2018. Last year when we surveyed, that population was below objective, and that's also part of the rationale for the reductions in antlerless harvest for that herd. Again, those two red dotted lines are where we want the population to be. Those are the upper and lower of the population objective. This is the Yakima total harvest. All types of harvest is the yellow column, and then antlerless is the red or orange column. And to give you an idea of the reductions that we've been coming off of those very aggressive seasons, in 2016, we backed off on the Clackamas herd only about 80, and on the Yakima only about 235 in the special permits. In 2017, last year, we really backed off a lot, and so there was a reduction of 500 for the Clackamas herd and over 2,500 for the Yakima herd. And so that's also that function of when do we perturb the population, and when are we helping, and when are we sort of dialing the dials too much? And then we have to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A quick question on the Yakima. If you could go to one slide prior to this, or one more, I guess, that one. So, given these reductions that you showed two slides hence, would we, if we passed the seasons as per the staff recommendation, would we expect 2018 to get back between those two red lines or exceed them?
It's a little hard to predict, but I think the chances are very good. Two reasons. One is that we are proposing the reductions in harvest, but also we're coming off a below average winter, so we'll have real good over winter survival. The one downside of this that makes it a little harder to predict is that the ground surveys on the Yakima herd that were done on the feed sites, this is the population that we feed to keep them out of agricultural trouble in conjunction with the fencing, we're seeing relatively low calf numbers. And so that's in the minus column. Favorable winter and reduction of harvest, that's in the plus column. So I think we'll have a good chance of getting it back up.
Excuse me for a fish guy asking some naive wildlife questions, but if you use the midpoints of those expectations on one side and on the other side, will that get you to a rise?
I'm not exactly sure I understand the question.
Well, on some of these things, you say the calving is showing a little bit low, but it could be this or it could be that. If you use the midpoint of your knowledge right now on that, and you use the midpoint on the other recruitment and survival things, and you use a midpoint for next winter's overwintering survival. In other words, these things can all swing up and down, but if you use the midpoint of the staff analysis on any of those things, will that get you above the lower dotted line?
That's a little difficult for me to answer because we can't predict what next winter is going to be. We have a feel for what harvest is going to do, but so on the harvest side of things, I would say probably yes. But when you factor in everything, that one's a little bit difficult to predict. Probably if you forced, without sitting down at a computer and all the smart people behind me and in the region helping me out, I would say probably the lower end of that target.
And on the overwintering survival, you don't know what that's going to be. By my midpoint questioning, I mean, if you assume an average overwinter survival.
And that's for the winter we're coming off of now. Or next winter?
The next time we see this graph, I think it would be next winter.
Okay. An average, yes. I think we could get at or very close to that lower end of that objective. Yes. Another elk population of interest is the Nooksack population up in the Skagit, or what we call the North Cascades population. This is the harvest results. No, this is the population estimation results for the core area of the herd from 2007 to 2018. So this population is continuing to rise, and it is a continual topic of conversation with our constituents and our co-managers.
Thank you.
And I'd like to welcome Deputy Director Windrup to the table to tell us a little bit more about what's going on that topic.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Smith and members of the Commission. So, as you know, this is a really difficult topic to get our minds around in terms of working with the Nooksack herd. We received a letter from our co-managers, the Stillaguamish, that was supported by six of the other Point Elliott tribes, requesting that we change the harvest plan for this coming year to last year's harvest plan. The difference between last year's and this year's is about 32, 16 for the tribes and 16 for the state. We also received two letters supporting the state's proposal for continuing with this year's harvest plan. So there's a lot of, what all the letters agree on, and I certainly want to say publicly, is that one of the things that I could have done better is actually run the co-management conversations more robustly. So we all agree that that we could have done better, and we will, starting this month and then moving forward. We have some statutory obligations as well as proviso language that says we need to address the elk damage issues in the Skagit Valley. And what we see is that the elk herd continues to grow. We did a driving survey this just a few weeks ago, and we see that the elk herd on the valley floor is really as big as it's ever been. The damage issues are continuing. We had over 100 complaints this year. So we are under a microscope as well as a lot of pressure to resolve this issue in a way that works for both the agricultural community as well as our co-managers, and I can't claim that we have reached that sweet spot just yet. But I will say that the science supports us increasing the harvest this year. I think it's an important step to make incremental progress towards dealing with the damage issues. We're using our harvest this year to really focus on damage issues. So I believe we should continue in this path, and I've been in really, really very constant communication with our co-managers and have communicated with them that we're going to do better on the co-management side, that we're going to figure a way forward, and that this supports the science and that we are not in agreement right now. And they understand that and are not happy, but I believe we should still continue to move forward at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thanks for that additional information. It's still a little bit confusing for a new guy on the block. I'll play that card as long as people let me here. about what the exact differences are between the tribal position and our position. You mentioned 32, 16 for each. I thought there was something about which areas we're hunting and an intent to disperse the herd to different areas. So could you again state...
Yeah, I didn't speak to that. You're right. Yeah. So there was also a request to close hunting south of the Skagit River and the GMUs that are south of the Skagit River. And some of the tribes support that closure and some of the tribes do not support that closure. We have ongoing conversations about how one of the reasons to leave those areas open for hunting is because we... and the community is very concerned that if we don't, then the elk challenges we have in the Skagit River will then be in the Snohomish Basin. And that is a really big concern for us because the density of the Skagit, you know, it's sort of hobby farms and suburbanizing. And if we move it to the Snohomish, we even have more challenges. I think the Snohomish is, in fact, the fastest growing region of Puget Sound. So that's why we don't support closing to hunting. And we do believe that the elk herd can support the very limited hunts that continue in those southern GMUs.
Yeah, I've been in, as you know, constant conversations with folks there, but they told me, a couple of them, that on the Skagit floor area were 650. That was a head count.
Do you remember? I think you're close. I don't remember the exact number. And just to be really clear, you know, we did a driving survey, which is not the same as the survey that this is, right? These are different. One is science and one's like a snapshot. So the driving survey was a snapshot, essentially.
And just to be clear then, so the state is not in favor of closing to the south, and on the tribal side, there's mixed opinions amongst the tribes, and that the state is in favor of 32 more being taken, and the tribes together are against that?
No, the tribes are of multiple minds on both issues.
Okay.
To this, because I'm pretty certain that tomorrow we're going to have some people testifying, some ag people from this area. So I don't know. I remain really optimistic because Amy seems as though she's going to follow through with what she says and not just be hollow words and then everybody leaves. And I think that's part of the frustration from those people up there, that it's just been pat them on the head and drive off. So hopefully we can, because there again, we deal with elk damage on a pretty regular basis, and it isn't just what they eat, but it's the fences they tear down. And up in that part of the world, there are definitely some safety issues involved. So I know we've got to do our very best to get along with our co-managers, but we also have constituents and people trying to make a living there. So Yeah, it isn't going to be an easy answer by any shape, matter, or form, but my conversations with people up in that area, at least, are kind of everybody seeming to take a breath and see where we can go, so hopefully we won't let them down.
You're right. I know that tomorrow there's going to be a handful of these coming down.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One more question about as this issue has evolved over the winter. Have we modified our position in any way over the course of this in response to the co-manager's concern, or are we so confident in our position that we have held on to our original position?
We have modified our position. So we have had a series of conversations with the co-managers, and one of the things that we've done is we actually shifted some of the antlerless harvest to being not antlerless so that we could address their concerns. We've increased the number of archery hunters. One of the reasons to do that is that that's a more effective way to move the animals off the valley floor while reducing the harvest rates. So those are some ways that we've tried to address their concerns. The other concern that really isn't in front of the commission right now is how are we going to deal with the number of damage permits? And we're meeting with them in late April to start talking about how are we going to deal with that moving forward. And we've tried to address some of the concerns there by re-engaging the tribes and working with us on damage permits. So that is really positive as well.
Thanks for your leadership on that, Amy. Yeah.
All right, moving on to another elk population, the Mount St. Helens herd. We don't survey the entire area for the Mount St. Helens. It's too big, but we do survey and estimate for the five core GMUs. So there's the 2018 results for that. The Willapa Hills herd, this is a herd that we're just recently paying attention to in the last few years. When we conduct surveys and make estimates, we split this into a southern and a northern portion, and we alternate, or at least that's the scheme we've got going right now. So 2016 and this year we worked in the southern portion, and in 2017 worked in the northern portion. So no trends yet, but as time goes by we'll be able to add more dots to that graph and have some trends. Blue Mountains herd, we did not survey the Blue Mountains elk herd this year. We're trying to put an awful lot of focus on mule deer and mule deer management in that district right now. We did attempt to get some radio callers out this past winter, but as you are all aware, we had a very unfortunate helicopter accident. While we were trying to do that work, we will be flying the Blue Mountains herd next year. So that'll probably go to an alternating scheme unless more funding becomes available. So our elk general season proposals are to reduce the early archery general season antlerless opportunity for the Yakima and Clackam herds to the last 6 days of the 13-day season. One thing that was brought up at the March meeting was, could we consider any of the additional testimony that we had at the March meeting, and were there any additional helpful ideas there that we could incorporate? We reviewed all of that testimony on the audio tapes. All but one of those was recommending a status quo situation, which we couldn't support. The last one that did have a different recommendation was recommending a 9-day season that would include both the weekends of that season, and we really didn't feel like that would get us at the reduced antlerless harvest that we would like to see. Felt like that would be almost the same as the current situation. So we are sticking with our recommendation as it stands in March. We're also recommending modifying the 3911 hunt so that it will be consistent with the 3912 hunt and GMU 371. We are adding some muzzleloader to GMU 334. That's more evening out opportunity rather than population control and management. In GMU 407, in order to continue to help with conflict issues on that same population, the Nooksack that we were just talking about, we're recommending extending the late archery dates and liberalizing which animals are legal for the late muzzleloader. More liberal approach there. We're also recommending adding some additional opportunity in GMUs 506 and 530 in the late archery, and adding some late muzzleloader hunting opportunity in GMU 578. That's something that we've done in the past, and that's intended to help us mitigate wildlife conflict as well. Shifting early archery in GMU 624 to the three-point minimum. That was prior to also including antlerless. We're dialing that back, or recommending we do so. And then adding a number of opportunities in GMU 663, modern firearm and late archery, adding antlerless to that opportunity, and then also liberalizing the early muzzleloader, adding antlerless also in that GMU. On the elk special permit proposals, recommending adjusting the quality and bull permits up and down. We do that every year. Adjusting the antlerless special permits up or down to help us with population control or to deal with wildlife conflict. We do that every year as well. Recommending reducing the quality and the bull special permits for the Yakima herd for the same reasons that we talked about just a little bit ago, seeing lower than desired post-hunt bull ratio numbers. And then shifting some of the Region 5 bull permits to the quality category that were in the bull category prior. We're also recommending adding some opportunity in the Northwest Olympic Peninsula, both in the quality permits category, but also in the youth, senior, and hunters with disabilities category for antlerless. And with that, I'll answer any additional questions if I can.
Just on the disability, it's showing up on several, presentations. Is it possible, when all of these are passed, to compile all of the new opportunities for hunters with disabilities into one list that we could then share with the disability with the committee, that they could then use that as a very easy mechanism in their regions?
Certainly. So do you want all of the opportunity or the additionals?
I think anything
anything new.
Yeah, that okay. that put into one piece, one piece of paper, and then sent to the members of the committee, then they can get that word out, because I think not everybody, that would be just a good way to disseminate the word.
We can certainly do that for both deer and elk.
Right, yeah, that's what I meant. Anything that has the word disability in it.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Thank you.
And ducks.
And ducks, yeah. Any critter.
Yeah. We need to brag about this.
Yeah.
Now, did you expand some antlerless opportunity in Unit 121?
Yes. Yes, we talked about that at the March meeting. County Commissioner DeShiel spoke to that idea as well. And so what we had done on that particular hunt was we took an existing hunt that was allowed hunters to hunt in two GMUs, and we split that into GMU specific. So each GMU had its own hunt and increased the number of permits in those hunts. So we did that in a couple of different places.
Okay, because I did feel the call, Monday, Tuesday night, doesn't matter, and it was from Dawn. Uh-huh. And there again, he welcomed it because he thought that, but he still had some concerns. So I guess put a little asterisk there and see how it's going, because there again, the way he explained it to me, they were still getting elk in feed barns and that kind of stuff. So I guess put an asterisk by it, and we'll keep an eye on it and see if we're getting done what we need to get done there to relieve them some. We could.
Right. I guess I would just offer that, you know, we'll use hunting as a tool whenever we can, but we also have wildlife conflict and staff that deal with damage in additional ways, mm-hmm. too.
Well, he welcomed it. You did it, but he was just, you know, hoping that we could watch it and monitor it and see if it was going to achieve its objectives, and if not, we may need to step up a few more permits or spread the season out a little bit more so when the elk are there. So that was it.
Understood. Yeah.
Director?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Holzmiller, when Steve Pazangra and I went up and met with the four county commissioners here a month ago or so, and elk was a lively topic, and we promised to come back sometime soon and talk more about you know, what we might do together, and this increase of permits was one of those things we were looking for, but there's more to be done. So
okay. You have a motion?
I move to amend WAC 220-415-050 and WAC 220-415-060 as presented by staff.
Do we have a second to the motion? Somebody?
Second.
Grable.
Commissioner Grable. I think I'd wake some people up.
Yeah.
we're awake.
Is there any further discussion? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be voting in favor of this motion, but I would like to note the sensitivity of the co-manager issue in that Nooksack herd area, and I thought I heard some positive things about things that could happen after this vote in perhaps both different directions. But anyway, I just like to emphasize how much benefit there is and how beneficial it is to have positive working relationships in a very respectful manner with our co-managers, and that transcends wildlife and fish together. So if this motion should pass, I would just encourage staff to do as much as they can in that regard as we move through the course of the rest of the year.
Noted.
And just one other thing. I will be voting in favor of this motion as well. And I do appreciate, Jerry, you addressing the issue concerning the bow hunters, and they did come out in force and very well spoken, and I appreciate the fact that the department listened to them and fully understand that doing nothing was not a viable option, but I think, you know, the outreach, the listening, and then you know, taking what they had to offer and considering it. I know it didn't go their way, but still, I think, you know, it's important that the commission and the department, you know, listen to our constituents. And so I just thank you for that.
Yes, I'll second that one. Okay, so motion has been made, seconded. Any other discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.